Hello, welcome to Irreverent Testimony, a political podcast where we discuss burning issues of the day. I am Pierre.
I'm Travis.
And you're going to get some very opinionated opinions here. We're going to discuss some of the hot button issues of the moment, and we're going to take them a step further by relating them to the future. So this week, the big issue, of course, there's several issues going on in the news this week, but the big thing is with the Charleston shootings and the Confederate flag, it all ties in together. So, Travis, it's been a very, very busy week. And
yeah, I heard that some things happened this week.
Yeah, but, just a little bit.
One or two relevant things and stuff in politics. I'm not sure.
It took your attention away from the NHL draft just for a little bit, right?
Yeah. You know, I was really worried about who, you know, if Ottawa was going to supplement their back line, but something about the Supreme Court. It's been quite a momentous week. Some huge decisions, obviously handed down by the Supreme Court, going back to the chaos last week. Obviously with the horrible tragedy in Charleston, and then the subsequent flap over the Confederate flag, and so followed up, of course, by two huge decisions by the Supreme Court. Basically, if you're a big conservative that usually follows the party line on all these issues, you're probably completely insane by this weekend. Things have not gone your way, to which we are delighted. But let's talk about that, Pierre.
The conservatives are probably curled up in a fetal position on bed, you know, crying after watching the news,
or so frothingly angry that they're just red and shaking, and smoke is coming out of their ears, and they're speaking in tongues,
something like that,
which is the baseline for them. So, I guess let's talk about the Confederate flag first. My senior year of college, I wrote a paper about the subject. I was in a Civil War and Reconstruction class, and I wrote about the connotations of the flag and what it means in modern society. And it was, you know, pretty controversial back then. This was like the year 2000. And really nothing had changed in 15 years until this tragedy, and people sort of realized, like, oh yeah, this is a completely fucking racist thing.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because a lot of these issues, it's not like they're brand new. I mean, the Confederate flag's always been there, and the argument you'll hear from conservatives is, why all of a sudden do we care about the flag? Why all of a sudden is it a problem? It's not that everybody was just okay with it the whole time, and it's never been an issue. It's just now it's been brought more to the forefront. But it's pretty obvious that all of these problems, a lot of these problems involving race, have been brought to the forefront mainly by conservatives. I'd say it kind of coincides with right around the time that our last president was elected. I don't know if you think that might have something to do with it.
Well, let's back up and do a little history background. The flag that everybody associates with the Confederate flag is actually the flag of the battle flag of the Army of Northern Virginia. The actual flag of the Confederacy was a little different, but the old stars and bars is the one everybody is familiar with. And the biggest what pretty much breaks down the whole argument for the flag just being a symbol of history and not being a symbol of racism was, it wasn't like these flags were flying in South Carolina and Mississippi and Alabama just constantly since the Confederacy. In fact, it was only in the early to mid-60s that they started going back up again as an act of defiance towards the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. So their connotation is pretty damn obvious. And you know, people can play stupid about it and make all these specious arguments, but we pretty much had an understanding of what it was. And I think until last week and what happened in South Carolina, a lot of people just, it went to the back of their mind and they just kind of shrugged and said, that's the South. South is the South.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, they take fly, it or leave it.
Take, yep. You know, they fly the racist flag of slavery. Oh, well, what can you do? You know, they make great mint juleps or whatever. And people finally said, you know what, enough is enough with this bullshit. And politicians actually came around. You know, that's an interesting thing. A lot of the complaints are the liberals are doing this and the liberals are doing that. Well, no, it's the governors and the state houses that are actually being proactive at this point and saying it's time to take it down. So, you know, blame them.
Well, and that's the one thing I'm glad it's not, you know, for what's happening now in the South and Alabama and Mississippi. It's not President Obama's declaring an executive order, take down the flag.
Right.
It's coming from
the
state government, which is what, yeah, they would drive them insane if that happened. But, yeah, it's the states themselves who are making the decision, the right decision to say, you know what, it's time, it's overdue. And
who's in charge of the state houses? Who are the governors? Who runs the legislatures? All Republicans. Basically white Republicans. And they are saying, they are making the decisions to take the flag down in no uncertain terms. Mm-hmm. They're saying, let's take it down, and they're doing it. So, you know, blame the, you know, black people and the Democratic minorities and people like us if you want. But, again, the decision is coming up to them. So, you know, and of course, people like us say, oh, okay, now, only now, we're coming to grips with what that means. I mean, like, and making these decisions, but, you know, better late than never, in terms of that. Obviously, it doesn't bring back the murdered people in South Carolina from the Emanuel Church. And obviously, it doesn't erase decades of racism, institutionalized racism, and hate crimes and everything else, but it's something. It's a step in the right direction, so there it is.
And any of this... supposed argument from anybody that it doesn't defend slavery, the flag doesn't represent any of that, is total bullshit, because that's exactly what it represents, the way of life from back then. And, you know, we'll discuss this more later, but the idea that it's about states' rights and it was about freedom and it has nothing to do with slavery, you know, no, I'm sorry, because that's exactly what it defended, was their way of life, which through and through, and they were very blunt and open about it back then, and now they kind of try to dance around it and hide the fact, you know, but it's very obvious that...
Right, or rewrite history, which is stupid, because the historical texts are available for anybody to see.
Mm-hmm.
You can Google the Charter of the Confederacy. The great leading, you know, the leading minds or the politicians, and in no uncertain terms, they very, very, very much made a very racist argument that Africans, well, they wouldn't call them African Americans at the time, that blacks were inferior and should be enslaved, and even invoked religion and anything else that you can think of to justify this. You know, and in college, when I wrote this paper, I had this professor, he's an excellent professor, but he's a Southerner, and he had this very weird, stilted view. He tried to sort of present this argument. Yes, the Civil War was about slavery, but, you know, not all the slaves had it so bad. It was actually worse to be a white guy in the North in the Industrial Revolution, you know, basically doing close to slave labor, which, while there is some truth to that, slavery is slavery, and there's no whitewashing it. You know, I'm sorry, I don't care what kind of arguments you bring up, so I never bought that, obviously.
No, once you get into any sort of position where you try to even start defending that in any way, that pretty much nullifies your argument. There should be no ifs, ands, or buts around it. So, and yeah, maybe that's not the only issue. Of course, economics is a big part of it, but the point is that whether it's states' rights or the economy, all of that is... based on slavery. The right to own slaves is what the states' rights are that they're talking about.
Exactly.
It's not about big government.
It's not about tariffs on tobacco or whatever.
No.
There were one or two other minor issues that certainly played into the impetus for forming the Confederacy and seceding from the Union, but it was all centralized around slavery.
Right.
So not only from, you know, an emotional, racial standpoint, from a quite accurate historical standpoint, what that flag represents is pretty naked and clear. I mean, what more is there to say? You can try to revise and rewrite history and make these specious arguments. They just don't hold up to facts. They just don't. And a vast majority of Americans understand that. But that, of course, was only one of some huge dominoes that fell this week in what had become a very southern, white, political, Tea Party-ish stranglehold on American politics in recent years. And I think that domino also plays into the next hypothetical I'm going to bring up. Of course, the Supreme Court on Thursday, right? Wasn't it just Thursday? Upheld the Affordable Care Act, which is very, very unpopular in the South and the states who really need it the most.
Just a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. And then gay marriage was essentially legalized all over the country, which some Southern state leaders are trying to defy, a la George Wallace and integration.
Oh, and of course, you'd be remiss to not mention the great state where I still live and you lived, spent some glorious years in the Lone Star State, which is proud to do whatever the hell it wants, of Texas. Greg Abbott just seems to really not care what the rest of the country is doing. And he just says, you know what, we're Texas and we're going to do what we want and we're not going to follow your Supreme Court decision. And he's already going through the motions to try to put an end to this Religious Liberties Act that they have. So,
and he'll mud up the works for a little while, but you know it's essentially over. He will probably delay some things and embarrass Texas even more. But you know, past that, the dam's been broken. It's it's not going to hold up. That aside, I guess now's a good time to bring up the next topic in the midst of all this. This is purely hypothetical and a flight of fancy and has no bearing on reality and will very likely never happen. But like in Texas, a lot of politicians and crazy people like to talk about secession a lot. And with the three pieces of news, the cataclysmic pieces of news that came down this week, I think it's time at least that we're going to hear about a new confederacy, a new set of secessionist states.
That's right. So just like they're so proud of how it was back in the days when the flag was flying proud and the Confederacy, they're just going to start all over again, right? Is that the idea, a new secession? Why not? Go back to the good old days, right?
Yeah, it's a little more complicated now. but, you know, let's play crazy hypothetical and pretend, because certainly people are going to talk about it. So let's pretend that we would do it. And funny enough, actually, a couple weeks ago, I started penning a new blog feature, which I only did the introduction for, called Life in the Neo-Confederacy, about what it would be like, the batshit crazy existence, where you would have this very weird combination of super arch laissez-faire economics, like libertarian utopia, mixed with really rigid conservative Christian evangelical laws, and what that might be like. You know, things like rejecting evolution and you know, and the companies allowed to pollute anything and everything to their desire, and no food inspections, and no minimum wage, and all these wonderful things.
You know, the libertarian utopia are two words that sound really great if you don't know what it actually would mean in practice.
Like living in Kansas.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either. But it's getting to that point. I mean, there's so much hypocrisy and contradiction there with what you said, that these values which don't kind of correspond with the actual policies and practices of laissez-faire economics. Basically, it's all about the control, though. These big corporations will continue to do whatever they want, and they'll institute their own sort of modern slavery. But it's more about a consumerism, you know, because they want to keep the class structure the way it is. And that's kind of point, is that it's really one of the other issues we talk about. It's not just race. Well, ultimately, it's about control. But, of course, it's about, you know, white controlling black, men controlling women, upper class controlling lower class. You know, that's the way they want things to stay. And I don't see how
even happy with the status quo. They want it rolled back for 200 years.
Oh, it's not enough. Exactly. That's why I say let's go back to the good old days. That's what they want. Yeah, the rest of America is not
Right,
on
and
board with
it's fun to fantasize just about how far they would go and what that government would actually look like with,
that.
you know, Ted Cruz and Rick Santorum and Louie Gohmert,
Oh, boy.
actually running everything.
And it's kind of like a Southern Disney World, right?
Well, that leads you to the next point. A couple of years ago, Glenn Beck was trying to raise $2 billion to create what he called Independence USA, which was going to be like an Epcot slash pseudo little mini Glenn Beck nation, where I guess he'd be the dictator.
Of course.
Yeah, it was going to be like Disney World slash an actual community where people live. And
That sounds wonderful.
yeah, it sounds fantastic. It never came to fruition. I don't know if it's still in the works. Actually, the owner, I don't know if he's the former owner, but the owner of Domino's Pizza also tried to do something like that. Wanted to create a right-wing Christian utopia type of place. Right, and there's been several books about it. There's the one where the guy he wants to do it, but he wants to leave out Texas. I'm like, I think Texas would be the capital. You know, they're the biggest proponents of secession everywhere. But he's afraid of too
Well,
many Mexicans sneaking in or something. I think
that's
was
exactly it. Too close to the border for their taste. Too many
right,
Mexicans
right,
already
right.
living there. The one of the interesting arguments about secession I've read is if it happens, hypothetically, of course, that really both North and South would be desperate to have Texas included because just from an economic standpoint, it's so vital and of course so big that it would be an important piece. I really think, I truly believe if any of this went down, Texas would just make its own damn country again because that's really what they want.
Night and watching your crowd and listening to things that are coming out of Texas, I don't want to be too dramatic, but it almost seems like Texas is looking to secede from the rest of the nation.
So I don't think Texas, it's a, we don't need you. We'll just go by ourselves. I think that would
So
happen
in our
first.
hypothetical, should we create a new United States, a new Confederacy, and Texas the
And
nation?
Texas the nation. It would be its own. Some people say California would make
They
its own,
would be, well,
but
maybe, but
I think
California
that's,
would need, I think, the rest of the United States, especially given their
yeah, well, I think it's a moot
what's
point
going on.
because California will be submerged into water in 20 years anyways, once the big one
Or
hits.
a desert wasteland like Mad Max, but
I don't want to say we're in a drought, but last night I ejaculated sand. I'm on fire. Literally, I'm on fire. The bottom half of my body. I'm burning up out here. Can't believe Ted Cruz has only been president for 2 weeks.
Well, in all seriousness, well, as serious as we can be, I could see Texas being their own nation, but closely allied with the Neo-Confederacy.
Yeah, they would definitely
I would say
align
that.
much more closely, but I think, and again, assuming that it's either Greg Abbott or somebody like that. I mean, we survived Rick Perry for all these years. I don't think it's going to get much better. But whoever it is,
No.
they're so paranoid and worried about
The
everybody
government.
who's not Texan
Yes.
intruding. I mean, you saw the thing last week. They had this thing about building their own gold reserve because they didn't want the federal government involved in Texas's interests.
it's their gold, and they pay to house it in New York.
And they
So
don't like that.
somebody said, well, it should be here in Texas,
Yeah, because we don't trust those
which might
northerners.
not be very cost effective, but it's basically meaningless.
Yeah, whether it happens or not, but it just that you see the mentality there.
Yes, exactly. It's really very goofy and silly, and like it's almost like Texas fan fiction is now Texas reality.
Yeah, I can tell you firsthand, I'm telling you, there is a
We haven't even
difference.
talked about Jade Helm yet.
Oh God, that's a whole nother thing. But that's the mentality. I'm telling you, I can tell you from experience. It's if you are either Texan or you're not Texan. That's the way they view things there.
Oh
The
yeah, I lived there
majority of people.
for years. I know.
So yeah, let's just real quickly talk about the Jade Helm thing. They're convinced. I know you're a big fan of this story. They're basically convinced that Obama's going to institute a military state and just.
Yeah, could declare martial law and take over Texas because Texans are so damn Texan.
Just because.
And they're going to use ISIS and the Chinese and Walmart and FEMA and the IRS and something.
Yes, That's exactly what Obama wants to do.
Well, here's a question, because I want to backtrack, because, you know, the Jade Helm thing has obviously been lost in about 800 more important news cycles. Has that started yet? Doesn't it start soon, or?
It's a kind of an ongoing thing, and from what I understand, it's throughout the whole summer. I mean, this is not just an isolated.
No. But the exercises themselves, I think, start in a couple days, right?
Yeah, it's pretty soon. I can double check on you, because I know you're worried about this. When the shit's gonna hit the fan, that's
what they
say.
Are your neighbors hunkering down and arming and putting sandbags in front of their lawn?
Well, they have their guns. I can tell you that. That's a fact. They definitely have their guns. It starts on July 15th. So yeah, we got a couple of weeks.
So we're coming up on it. All right. Well, maybe that'll make it back into the news. And Greg Abbott is still planning to have like the state National Guard, like, you know, train snipers on them and stuff, right?
Yep, that's right. So it's not ISIS they're worried about. It's our own government. That makes total sense. But
yeah, because Obama or something.
Yeah, but anyway, so the point is, I could definitely see Texas seceding first, if anything, making their own country, saying, you know, screw this, we don't need you guys. With all the oil, they probably don't.
And then there's one or two things they would need.
I don't know. They wouldn't think that way.
No, they wouldn't, but, you know.
And then the South can be its own little Disney World, led by Glenn Beck. And then what else?
Yeah, well, see, that's who would be president. I'm guessing Huckabee would probably be the first president of the Neo-Confederacy. Maybe Cruz is running mate, or Secretary of the Interior, or Treasury or something. Yeah. How well would that go?
Well, there's a good question. Then, out of the candidates that are out there now, how many of those you think would support and stay in the South for a Confederate Union? Like, there's some. Like, I don't see Jeb Bush.
Well, you mean after they officially get bounced from the 2016 presidential?
Yeah, exactly. Let's say okay, they all, you know, came back losing. They have a chance now to be president of the new Confederate States. Who do you think would step up and say, I want that job, and who would say
that? Well, are we assuming that Texas is not part of this Confederacy and that they're their own nation?
Yes. Well, okay. We won't include Rick Perry, not that he should be included anyways.
Or Ted Cruz.
Or Ted Cruz, who likewise really shouldn't deserve mention, but let's just take them off the list. So
it'll be Huckabee, Santorum, and yeah, I guess Huckabee and Santorum, because they're not really going to want Walker. Well, even Santorum's from up north.
Santorum. They're not going to trust any of those northerners. So,
So I mean, I guess it would be Huckabee. It's not going to be Rubio, that's for sure.
No, it wouldn't be Rubio. Do you think? I see somebody like Jeb Bush. I see that being a little too extreme for him.
Oh no! He's way too moderate for the Neo Confederacy.
So who would be? I think Huckabee. You might be right.
Oh yeah, I think he's far and away the guy. Because remember, this Neo Confederacy is going to be its most impassioned supporters are going to be evangelical Christians, not just the big, not just the Koch brothers. I mean, they'll be in on it too, but you know, their grassroots energy is not going to be billionaires, you know, although the billionaires many of them will flock there because there's going to be essentially no taxes if you're a billionaire.
Right.
But, you know, the grassrootsy type, they're going to be all for this, are going to be the very, very, very religious people, very right-wing Christian people.
So is this something that's feasible in the next... I mean, the Democrats keep winning elections, presidential at least.
Will. And they start to lose control of Congress more and more, and you know, the Supreme Court has stopped doing their bidding, not completely. You know, obviously they gutted the Voting Rights Act, and you know, they did Citizens United, and but the big ones that they want, i.e., they wanted Obamacare dead. It's not. They wanted gay marriage stopped. It wasn't. They want Roe v. Wade overturned. That's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
And even though they're doing it bit by bit in the states, you know, they want it once and for all. And that's not going to happen unless there's a Republican president and a completely dominated Congress where they can just, you know, appoint five new crazy Supreme Court justices, which they'd want to do, of course. But see, it's much easier for them to just create their own new Confederacy, and then they appoint all the, you know, President Huckabee appoints all the crazy judges he wants, and there you go.
Yeah, exactly, sir. I mean, I could see it, Hillary Clinton is president. The Confederate flag goes down. The rainbow flag takes its place.
They lose Senate. They lose the Senate.
Right. Yeah. I mean, just they start losing their sanity is what they start losing.
It's
just,
they're already doing that.
Yeah, well, exactly. They're already doing that. So, I mean...
Well, I almost think that Obama and the Democrats are trying to troll them into it. Like, you know, last night, Obama lights up the White House in rainbow colors. I mean, come on. That's just straight trolling. He's just trolling them.
Pretty much. And
I mean, yeah.
He can do that. I mean, he's earned that, right? That.
Yeah, and I know that on the surface, it's like, well, he's honoring this decision that he believes in. But really, I mean, the court decision did that enough already. There was not that statement that needed to be needed. That's just rubbing it in. That's just that, you know, that's Obama going up to all these angry conservatives and saying scoreboard.
Yeah, and dropping the mic. What does he have to lose? Dan
doing the icky shuffle in the end zone.
Woo! 44, that's me! Get some cold cuts, get some cold cuts, get some cold cuts.
Right?
Yeah, well, for our experience, it would be more like the 1987 Hurricanes, like 20 people celebrating after a sack. Yeah.
He's running into the tunnel and doing the, speaking of Texas, running into the tunnel of the Cotton Bowl and doing the six shooter.
Yeah, which we enjoyed it. I mean, yeah, I enjoyed it just much last night. We're loving it. But yeah, that's not sitting too well in the South right now. So
No, that is straight trolling. And if I was on the fence and thinking, that's it, we just got to secede, you know, seeing that, people must be apoplectic. And not just, you know, Scalia, who's, you know, literally foaming at the mouth and speaking in tongues and his head is spinning around like Linda Blair. And
well, that's why I think you say it's, you know, very hypothetical and totally pie in the sky. I think it's I'd give it a more of a chance than you think as far as actually being being a real thing. I'm telling you, I see it happening.
Okay, well let's pretend it would be very, very, very bad for everybody at first, because let's look back and think about this in modernity. That's what they did with India and Pakistan in the 30s, was it? Where they said, okay, well, there's too many, or actually maybe it was a little later, it was the 40s, but they said, okay, well, us Hindus and us Muslims, we just can't get along. We have to create two separate nations. And, you know, it was a disaster. It was, you know, it uprooted half the country, and lots of people died, and there was horrific violence, and there was all kinds of terrorism, and it was, you know, it was a nightmare. And they're still kind of at each other's throats today, you know, pointing nuclear weapons at each other. Mm-hmm. And there's you know, conflict flares up in the Kashmir area still. There's not that same kind of visceral hate that there is. I mean, yeah, we hate each other, but there hasn't, Dylan Roof aside, there hasn't been wide scale, you know, terrorism and war yet between conservatives and liberals in the north of the south.
It's
so maybe right. It would certainly be more peaceful and orderly, but you're still talking about uprooting, you know, 100 million Americans.
Yeah.
How the hell would that work?
Well, what we're seeing now, like you said, is not overt, you know, acts of terrorism, you'd say, but it's been slowly building the last several years, and now, sadly, the thing is, ever since the Charleston shooting, there's been smaller incidents that aren't really getting a lot of notice, maybe in the media, because of the big story, you know, the other ones. But what I read was just in the last week since the shooting, there have been four separate incidents of
church burning.
Yeah, and of course these are not coincidentally black churches, all throughout the South. There's one in Tallahassee, one in Alabama,
North Carolina.
Yeah, so it's again going back to the days before civil rights. You know, when this was just accepted as a thing that happened, and of course some people, you know, just somehow think this is a way to get back to glory days. It's happening in more subtle and smaller ways, but. And I know that doesn't reflect the entire South and what everybody feels. So obviously, well, you can't take the acts of some, you know, lunatics and extremists and say, well, this is what everybody in the South is like.
Right, but there's been way too much acceptance. Like, the non-racists sort of just live and breathe with the rebel flag flying over the state capitol for all these years and just kind of shrug it off. And then think about, wasn't it up until a couple of years ago, Ole Miss had a little rebel guy with a rebel flag on their helmet?
Yeah, well, that's their name. They're the rebels.
And there's plenty of black athletes that choose to go there. And it's, and you will find plenty of African Americans in the South that say, well, they've been almost brainwashed to say, well, the rebel flag doesn't necessarily mean that, and it's something different. So there's that. And then there's kind of also the fact that, let's say this nightmare dream scenario of secession happens and we create a neo-confederacy, all the poor people who are predominantly, people of color or Hispanics, but plenty of poor white people too, in the South, that are now going to see, they're already having a lot of the help for them stripped away by these Republican governments in terms of EBT and food stamps and Social Security and what have you, have those entirely stripped away and the public schools destroyed and everything else they want to do. They're going to be stuck. They don't have the means to move north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Right. And that's...
So they're going to be stuck behind the lines in the neo-Confederate Mississippi, where all the hate crimes laws are taken off the books and the rebel flag flies again. And
that's the thing. Go back to my point is, I know everybody doesn't support these shootings and these church burnings, and that's not the sentiment of all Southerners. But the problem is nobody's not enough people are stepping back to say this is wrong. And yes, the Confederate flag does symbolize racism, and there's. Even indifference or apathy towards those things, that's not acceptable. And
not anymore.
No, it shouldn't be. And nowadays, some people want to pretend that racism doesn't exist and that's not the issue. Well, that's part of the issues, but like you said, a lot of it also is economics. And so these people, like you said, they can't afford anything better. They can't afford, even if they wanted to move north or to go somewhere other than, small southern cities where they grew up. But this is how it works. In the South, the corporations are keeping the workers where they want them. They're trying to divide white and black. And the racism is kind of a tool, if anything, to keep people divided so that the class system stays the way it is. The status quo, like you said, it's not even good enough for them, but it's better than the alternative of people becoming educated or becoming tolerant and accepting that this isn't the way things should be, to improve themselves. So,
something's gotta change. And I think that the new push, whether it's, fantasy or not, for a neo-confederacy, is not going to be around racial issues so much. Although that's kind of ingrained, or economics, it's going to be around what's considered this assault on religion and allowing, they're scared right now because less and less people are considering themselves religious. Every year less and less people are religious. More and more people are becoming more tolerant in acceptance of homosexuality and gay marriage, and they feel extraordinarily threatened. Mm-hmm. Which is ridiculous, of course. Nobody is stopping white evangelical Christians from being white evangelical Christians. Nobody's trying to stop them from getting married or going to church or celebrating Christmas, despite what Fox News says. But just the fact that there's more and more people who don't want to do that, they find very threatening. I think more likely than an actual neo-Confederacy is you're going to see like a new Jonestown. Mike Huckabee is going to lead his flock to, they're going to buy a bunch of land in French Guiana or something and do Christian world there. And then, hopefully Mike won't have them all drink the Kool-Aid. But,
remind me not to visit there if that happens. something crazier is bound to happen because, things...
Something has to give, right? They're not just going to quietly accept that they have married gay neighbors.
The thing that strikes me the most, and I mentioned this earlier, they have what they call a Religious Liberties Act, and the fact that the idea, to go back to gay marriage, it threatens the value of marriage itself, that it's supposed to be a man and a woman. You know, the rational mind would say, okay, if my neighbors right next door to me are two men and they want to get married, what does that even have to do with me at all? Does that stop me in any way from marrying a woman? Does that right. threaten my religion, what I believe? No, it has nothing to do with me at all.
No, it's it means you have to divorce your wife and marry a man immediately.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, is that the mind? What is... it's hard for me to wrap my head around that because yeah. it doesn't make sense.
It's like a very small child sees the world.
Yes.
Where everything is black and white, like men can marry men and women can marry women, then I can't be straight anymore.
Yeah. Oh, and then of course,
I don't know how you jump to that leap of logic.
Oh,
but that's exactly what they do. The
best is the one where they go with the slippery slope argument that what's next, you can marry your dog and that's okay.
Yeah, right. You can marry your dog. You can marry like a bowl of Jell-O.
Yeah.
And
which would there's some men who would say that, you know, I'll take that because at least it doesn't talk back. That would be a better. I'm just kidding.
Right, but see, and then again, let's say your neighbor decides to marry a bowl of Jell-O and it's legal, he's still the crazy guy married to a bowl of Jell-O, and it doesn't affect your marriage with your wife.
Yeah.
But in their minds, somehow it does, and the next step is outlawing straight marriage and outlawing Christianity, and they can't read the Bible anymore. And
right.
They have to marry a bowl of Jell-O,
right.
And they'd rather not.
You're threatening my lifestyle. I'll have to do what you want. I'll have to fly the rainbow flag in front of my house, and yeah, it's based out of fear, basically.
Well, it's based out of hate. It's a very transparent, stupid excuse for just hating gay people.
But a lot of it, the fear and the hate, all that. To me, that stems from ignorance, not knowing, not accepting, you know, not realizing that those people are humans too, and, you know, it's not the same as a bowl of Jell-O or your dog or, you know, not the same thing. That,
right, right. Like, these are actual people. They're just people that
just different than you. They're not exactly the same, and that's okay. They're still humans, and their value is
still... Well, they don't see it that way, and
right.
either they don't see it that way because they're very close-minded or stupid, or they think we're stupid, and they try to justify their hate with saying, "Well, the way I want to live my life is now under threat because these people want to live differently than me," which has no logic whatsoever.
Right, and so again, hard for us to really quote unquote understand it. I see that point of view. I can't say I'll ever understand it.
Well, I understand it the way that a bratty 8-year-old would try to make a specious argument about, you know, why they don't have to go to bed. So, and so from that aspect, I do understand that these are petulant children.
I guess that's a good way to put it. I read an article just came out this last week, Psychology Today, a response to an article about how anti-intellectualism is kind of the big problem in our society, and that goes back to my point of the ignorance, just lack of understanding. There was a response written by Dr. Ravi Chandra, and it said, "The real problem is self-centeredness." And I'm just going to read one quote from it because I thought this was a very, very simple way to put it. It says, "From a Buddhist perspective, ignorance is defined as the belief in a separately existing independent self." So somebody who kills out of hatred, like Dylan Roof, is by definition self-centered and lacking in empathy. In other words, you can't see outside your own shell. My way of life should be the only way of life that exists. If I live in a white community and a white family, everyone should be white. Everyone who isn't is...
And listen to country music and go to my church, etc. Yeah.
Right. So, and it sounds very simple. Just say, you know, practice tolerance and compassion. Some people just don't have that capacity. Yeah. So... I don't know if there's an easy fix for that.
Well, that's where the fantasy really gets into. I morbidly want to say fun, but you know, when you imagine this neo-confederacy and how they reject science and reason and logic, and you know their worldview, in the neo-confederacy, it's going to be established law that the Earth is 5,000 years old, and that you know Moses was riding around on a dinosaur, and yeah, I mean this is real life.
And it'll be in the textbooks.
They're going to have to rewrite science and biology and everything else. And It's just going to be bizarre world. You know, let's say you're a biology professor at the University of Mississippi, and you say, well, you know, I want to keep living in Mississippi. I'm not going to let the politics. And then the state comes in and says, well, you can't teach it this way anymore. You know, you have to teach that Jesus created these amoebas and then created these other amoebas 100 years later or whatever, and just rewrites her textbook to make no sense at all. You're not going to stay there and you know, go with this. You're going to leave. So, you know, it's going to be the Duggars are going to be, you know, chancellors of the universities. And
wow.
I mean, if you take this stuff to its logical conclusion, where else can you go?
That's true. I mean, if you look at it from that point of view, anything goes pretty much. And there, you'll see some excuses, you know, again, for the flag or the Confederacy or racism, all of those. It goes back to the same basic excuse, like, oh, you're just diverting attention from the real problems, or that's never been a problem before.
You know, the blaming the flag is ridiculous. It's not going to do anything, and in fact, I think it's a silly thing to do, because what essentially the left is trying to say is, let's eradicate history. If ever history doesn't fit the narrative that we want, let's get rid of it.
You know, and it's,
right.
it's
not for you.
Yeah, exactly, not for you. It's not a problem because you're okay with it. It's just it's kind of an escape from reality. But that yeah. kind of leads into a segment we're going to do regularly on the show. It's called The Devil and the Advocate. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go back to our point about the flag and how this whole debate, this whole big issue now, is probably dividing people more than ever. And so I'm going to take the role of the devil and tell you why the Confederate flag is great and wonderful and should stay up. And that if
and you I'm going to try to talk you out of it.
You're the advocate. In other words, you're going to tell us why I'm wrong.
Okay.
And so we're going to go point counterpoint. And I'm going to just, as a disclaimer, say I don't believe any of these things I'm about to say.
If you've been listening this far, you should understand that.
Yeah, if you're just tuning in right now, yeah, that's the wrong time. So, Travis, what is all this
yes.
problem with the flag? This Confederate flag has been flying for hundreds of years, and it never was a problem just because of one little incident. Some idiot, okay, I'll admit that, he was an idiot, he goes and shoots a church, so now all of a sudden we're all in a rage about this flag. Isn't this just distracting from the real problem?
The real problem being?
The real problem, obviously, being that the left-wing liberal government is failing in every way, and they're trying to distract from the fact that the economy is in the toilet, our traditional values are being basically thrown out the window for the liberal agenda. And so why is the flag the most important problem in everybody's mind now?
Well, the flag represents white supremacy, and that's clear in the writings and charter of the Confederacy, which led to the Civil War, of course. So that's problem number one.
Okay, but obviously the Confederate flag is just a symbol of pride for the Confederate States, just like the U.S. flag is a symbol of pride for the United States right now. So shouldn't the flag be something that Southerners are proud of flying? It's not like we have slaves now, so why can't we just be proud of our heritage?
Well, if they consider themselves not American, in a sense, because the Confederacy was actually at war with the United States, for one thing. And secondly, it does represent, certainly if you're an African American, a legacy of believing that you belonged in slavery and servitude, and that you were less of a person, that your value as a human being was less than that of the white slave owners. So, of course, I don't see how you could not see it as offensive. And even as a white person, I would see it as offensive, as it's a reminder of a legacy where it was institutionalized in the very government that it created to say that black people are less than white people and should be slaves.
Okay, so you're saying that has to do with slavery still. But wasn't the U.S. flag, the Stars and Stripes, at least a version of it, flying during the Civil War? And wasn't slavery still an issue at that time while the United States flag was flying? And are you going to tell me that the United States has always treated its citizens the same before the Civil Rights Movement? So isn't the United States flag in a way also representative of racism? So shouldn't we just take that down too and take down all the flags?
Well, you could make that argument, except for the fact that the very reason the Civil War took place and Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, which you can certainly say was, 100 years or so too late, but better late than never, certainly. And then when you're talking about the civil rights legislation, basically amending the Constitution to say that segregation is illegal, then really what the United States flag, in essence, is really rejecting. Ultimately, not at first, but ultimately rejecting the notion of slavery and unequal rights. So I think that's a pretty valid argument to say that, yes, while the United States, regardless of the Confederacy, does have some history of a checkered history of rights for non-white people and everything else, I think that the strides it's making and saying what it stands for rejects these very notions that the Confederate flag actually does represent.
Okay, so you said about Lincoln. Now, people probably don't want to remember the fact that he really didn't care too much about the slaves. He really just wanted the war to end because of the economy, and he didn't want to see the nation torn apart. And he really wasn't all in it for the slaves, but I'll let that part go. Let's say that the real issue here was states' rights, because we know history is always written by the victor. And so, the Northerners have tried to label us Southerners as all racist and slave owners. The real issue, let's say, was about freedom and states' rights, because, big government is always trying to tell us what to do. So why can't we have the flag up to represent our freedom and our right to not be quote-unquote owned by the federal government? Why can't we use it as a symbol of states' rights, which is what the Civil War really was supposed to be about?
Well, if you want to make an argument for states' rights, you certainly can, but ultimately the main right that the Confederacy was fighting for was the right to own slaves and keep African Americans as slaves. There's just no getting around that one. So you can say states' rights all you want, but it's in no uncertain terms in the historical documents and charter does states' rights mean the right to own slaves.
If I'm calling myself a rebel because I like to be free and have the rights of the southern states from back then, that's not making me free from being a racist?
You can certainly call yourself that, and you can twist the meaning and the history to mean something other than racial subjugation and slavery, but history shows in black and white and no uncertain terms, in the very words of the founders of the Confederacy and in the charter of the new Confederacy itself, that the central notion of why the Confederacy was created and why it fought against the Union was to preserve the right to own blacks as slaves. End of story.
I see. So, in other words, if I'm still supporting the Confederate flag, I'm still supporting slavery because the two are inexorably tied together.
The vast majority of Americans and the history books in no uncertain terms display that and make that perfectly clear. And if you choose to believe something otherwise, you are free to do that. As you love to point out, it is a free country. However, you are in a very, very dwindling minority. And that's just how it is.
The flag itself isn't going to earn us back any more freedoms than it will actually cause us more problems from now on.
I would say that's a fair assessment, yes.
Well, I think you've convinced this devil that no matter how historical or free it may make me seem, it kind of always reminds me of the Civil War, and the Civil War was really about slavery, wasn't it?
Pretty much. Yep.
Yes, it's been the devil and the advocate.
Yeah, we weren't on the debate team in high school, which probably shows, but I'm really looking forward to playing the other side next time.
Yeah, I think you'd make a good devil. That's a compliment.
I think I would. Yeah, sure is.
This issue's not going to go away anytime soon, obviously. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that even despite all the fact that all these southern states are now having leaders, governors call for the flag to be removed and placed in museums, I think we've seen with all these issues that the backlash just becomes a little bit greater.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see in the coming weeks and months, especially when we're in the midst of the presidential race, who's going to be that GOP candidate that's going to stake out their own claim. And I see Ted Cruz starting to do that a little bit, and obviously Huckabee, but you know, he's kind of a joke. But who's going to be the one that just rejects everything, you know, puts his foot down and says, you know what, the heck with this, the Confederate flag should fly. And, you know, when I'm president, I will overturn Obamacare and I will overturn,
well, that's all.
Gay marriage. But you know, they're kind of waffling and they're saying, well, the Supreme Court made its decision, but, you know, a president can change the Supreme Court. I mean, I want to see somebody aggressively stake out their claim to reject all this. And I think that possibly it'll be Ted Cruz. Unequivocally, not equivocate and say, well, you know, we have to respect what the Supreme Court says, and you know.
No, he doesn't seem to respect much of anything, much less himself. When it comes to the Confederacy and the flag, Texans are all about Texas. I could see Huckabee being the one to represent the South. When it comes to Obamacare, yeah, Ted Cruz, that's your man.
Well, yeah, I think we'll see another 50 or so meaningless votes to repeal Obamacare, which will never get past the Senate and would be vetoed anyway. We'll see a bunch of those. Maybe a few less. But, you know, I'm more curious to see who is going to be, if any, the GOP candidate that is really, really going to run on a platform of rolling all these things back that we've seen over the last week. Not just hinting at it, not just vagaries, not just saying it should be up to the states. I want to see one of these guys stake their claim hard right and say, no, the Confederate flag should be flying. I will repeal Obamacare. I will make it happen. I will reverse this gay marriage decision. And while I'm at it, I'm going to overturn Roe v. Wade. I mean, who is going to just completely just vault as far right as they can? Bush won't, because he knows that he'll lose a general election.
No, he'll be the farthest from it. Right, I would have
Rubio won't go all the way because he wants to have a future in politics.
Exactly. Loses,
which he will.
I would have thought a week ago I would have said Lindsey Graham, but now he's all on board calling for the flag too. You know what? I'm going to go with Donald Trump. If you consider him a real candidate.
Donald Trump is he's anti-immigrant and everything, but he's pro-abortion and he's pro-gay rights, and you know, the reason that he's spiking in the polls now is because he's a novelty of being an asshole. Americans are never going to actually elect someone who's an asshole. They want someone who they think they can hang out and drink a beer with, even though they never will.
Right.
You know, even if you think about Jimmy Carter and George Bush, and maybe not so much Bush Sr., but certainly Clinton and Obama, and you know, these are guys that Americans felt comfortable with inviting into their living room. And you know, America's not going to vote for a real asshole. Not since Andrew Jackson.
Well, you never know. I mean, there's quite a few candidates out there.
I know. It's going to be fun to see Trump on stage, you know, throwing bombs. But, you know, he's not going to sniff the...
Like you said, it's a novelty. He's a name. He's known. I mean, all these candidates that people don't know.
He's a novelty. That's what he is. Yeah.
So, we'll see. Time will tell.
You make a good point. There's going to be a backlash, and we're starting to see some of it maybe with these church burnings, you know. The Klan maybe will make a comeback, and I really hate to laugh about that, but it is laughable as it is. It's also horrifying. But, you know, this is the climate for them to do it, to start rattling their cage and say, I told you so, and, you know, that horrible possibility. But, yes, there is going to be a backlash, certainly in the South, of some variety. If it means maybe a lot of these guys get primaried by a bunch of crazy right-wing Tea Party types, some of the more establishment guys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but, yeah, the crazy frothing Tea Party that's had their taste of power, they're not going to go quietly when everything is going against them right now.
I don't think this is the time for it to happen, but next year the momentum will keep building. As these rulings keep happening and the anger sort of keeps building, I think you'll see that pushback, so to speak. I think right now they're biding time to see, because there's still hope on their side and promise of 2016. After that, anything will go. If we see President,
well, the way Clinton, it looks now, you know, 2016. I don't know if they're going to. They're probably not going to lose control of all of Congress, but they're going to lose a bunch of seats. They're going to lose the presidency.
They don't know that yet.
No, they don't. But when that happens. You're right, but what'll be the next incarnation? You know, there was talk in the last two elections of splitting the party in two, ignoring, you know, starting the new crazy Sarah Palin party or something. Does that get revisited?
You know what? That might be the next thing. We're talking about secession. That was kind of our issue here. Maybe the next thing to happen will be that the parties themselves secede, so to speak, and split apart from each other, because... the right wing, the extreme Tea Party, they're not going to be as pleased to see a moderate take over, because that doesn't represent their interests.
Oh, they're as pissed at the GOP as anybody else right now. They hate Boehner. They hate McConnell.
Right.
They think they find them treasonous. You know, they think that Boehner should have arrested Obama for being a Muslim Kenyan already.
Yeah.
And they hate that they've had to go along with anything. They hate that a budget was ever passed. They hate that the government shutdown stopped. They, you know, you know, there's enough of a Republican establishment that knows that splitting the party would be sort of the death of the Republican Party completely, and the Democrats would completely dominate. That's why it hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. But is that the next thing, short of a full-on secession and neo-confederacy? Is that what we see?
I think that sounds like a great topic for our next show, when we talk about our candidates, the plethora of candidates coming out.
Will that be fun?
I think that's a great hypothetical to get into, because, there's pros and cons to both. Whether it's feasible, I don't know, but... You know what? Nothing surprises me these days. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Oh, boy.
Any closing thoughts on secession and the possibility of having a new South?
Well, check out my blog. It's wordpress.travestation.com, where I've laid the introduction, and then I'm going to get into the logistics of, you know, if this actually happened, how the partition would happen, and... you know, what life would actually be like, so that will make for some fun reading. And if you're into pulp culture and other stuff, we have another podcast about lighter topics and growing up in our generation. It's called Yeah, I Remember That. It can be found on Stitcher and iTunes.
All right, and we'll be back again with more Burning Issues. And this has been Irreverent Testimony. I have been Pierre.
I'm Travis.
And thanks for listening.
Adios.